Our scripture reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 to 4, and then chapter 3 of Colossians, just verses 1 and chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. So, first of all, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And then Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, as I indicated when we read Deuteronomy, that in the Old Testament, children were part and parcel of the covenant. And so God devoted certain portions of Scripture relative to them. And that doesn't change in the New Testament. And so when we don't regard our children as part of the covenant, then when we read passages like this, then it ought to cause us to think, wherever we may be on that debate of infant baptism, at least we ought to take consideration of this verse, that the Word of God is addressing children. It's addressing children within the covenant. As we've said already when we looked at these various passages, these verses are not addressed to the world. Absolutely not. The world cannot hear these words that we're speaking about. The world cannot do the things that we're speaking about. We're not interested in just fixing marriages in general in the world. These words are absolutely useless to them because they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have on many occasions spoken to people with problems in their marriage. They're not Christians. So what do you have to do? You can't say, well, I'm not going to talk to you, go away. No, no, no. What you really are doing is beginning with evangelism. You're saying to them, look, I can tell you what to do, but you won't be able to do it in your own strength. You need the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to come to faith. You need to believe in Him. Then we can start working, as it were, in this problem. But without the Lord Jesus Christ, all that I'm saying will produce absolutely nothing. So we're not talking about fixing the problems of the world. I said that over and over again. We're not talking about moralism. We're talking to the people of God. The people of God. So in the same vein, when we talk about children, he's talking about children in the covenant. He's talking about children of believing parents. They are being addressed. I've mentioned this before, you know, when we came to England, we would get letters, because we didn't have emails back then, of course. We didn't have the internet back then. So letters would come, right? And my parents couldn't read, so they would have other people come, friends of theirs, that would come and read the letters. And then they would read these letters, and the whole family would be sitting there, right? And then they would read these letters. And towards the end, our names would be mentioned. That they mentioned the children. And it was very heartening to hear that these letters that are coming from, you know, a far country, that these people know us. We're part of the family. And in the same way, here you have it in Ephesians. Paul, the great apostle, and all the work that he had to do, all the responsibility that he had, He's writing this letter to this church in Ephesians, and he's going on all about these high and wonderful doctrines that perhaps the children are falling asleep and they're thinking, you know, what, before the creation of the world, you know, what is, and all the doctrines that we've considered, and all of a sudden they hear, and children, what, me? He's talking to me? Yes, he's talking to you. God has a word for you. God has a word for the way that he wants you to behave, the way that he wants you to act. Again, this is not a remedy for the social problems that we have in this world and in our nation. We're not here to say, look, we can fix the problems of society. We can, if they come to faith. But we're not about that. We're talking to Christian families and to children that they, being part of the covenant of God, they need to act in a certain way. And God instructs them. He's interested in them. He addresses them in this wonderful way. And you may say, well, we don't need that. Yes, we do need that. Even the Jewish leaders, remember, the Lord Jesus Christ had to chastise them in regard to the way the children were behaving. He says, you people that think you're so wonderful in terms of the law, he says, you neutralize the law. The law says, love your parents, honor your parents. What do? You shield your money. And we live in a society where people shield their money from the government. Well, that's what they were doing. If I put my money as korban, devoted to God, if my parents have a need, I don't have to touch this money. And I can do it with kind of religious cover. And so he says, you end up breaking the law. So children need to be addressed. Society has no answer to lawlessness. It's wrecking our society. But as you know, they won't turn to the gospel. They won't turn to the scriptures. And so the only remedy that there is, they turn their backs on. But to those that do believe, those that do turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a remedy for all of our struggles and all of our trials. Not that it happens overnight, you understand. But the path to restoration is not only laid out for us, but it is guaranteed to us by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And so children, listen up. This is for you. Paul is addressing you, each and every one of you. So you need to make sure you understand what he's saying. So what's the first thing that Paul is saying? Or God is saying, of course, not Paul. He's using Paul. But God is speaking to you, and he says this to you. Children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. It's an order from God. It's not coming from parents. It's coming from God himself. So when we disobey our parents, we really, in the last analysis, we're disobeying God himself. And so that's a very serious call from God to us. Obey your parents. And Colossians tells us, for this is right. This is right. In a sense, it's nature teaches us that. It's the right thing to do. Children are called to obey their parents as well as to honor them, as God's commandment states. Because that is only natural that that should happen. Even in the world, whichever country we look at, even in their darkness, even in their setting aside the word of God, even in their spiritual bankruptcy, right? They're blind. That's the way they describe. They're blind. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. But even they can see that this is right. I know of no country in this world that says, you know, children shouldn't obey their parents. I mean, that's what they end up doing. But nobody promotes that. Nobody teaches them that. No, they all teach us to obey our parents. Because it is that natural. It makes all the sense in the world. It's the creational order of God. And so just as God called wives to be submissive to their husbands, God calls children to be submissive to their parents. Not only to the fathers, by the way, but to their parents, father and mother. There are many religions where the husband is the only one in charge, and he rules over everything. But the scriptures, no. The scriptures say, honor your father and mother, because both are given that responsibility. And so that certainly is a warning to us that mothers and fathers need to be on the same page. And mothers ought not to think that it's only the father's responsibility, and they don't have to do that, teach their children and guide them in the way that they should go. No, fathers and mothers both need to understand that they are responsible, that they are the ones that are given authority over their children, and they need to exercise that authority. They cannot delegate it to somebody else. And worse still, they can't just cast it aside. That really is showing hatred towards your children, caring nothing about their well-being. No, we need to love our children. We need to guide them. And so children are, since we are such a blessing to them, that's what God intends, children are taught, obey your parents. This is a means of grace. This is the way that God has chosen to bless you and to protect you and to guide you, to bring you all the way to himself. Because that's what Paul says about Timothy in 2 Timothy. You heard the word of God from your grandmother and mother. Things that are able to make you wise unto salvation. Children, little do you know the riches and the blessing that God intends for you through your parents. Through your parents. And when we cast them aside, especially then, of course, as Christian parents, then we are really casting the gospel aside. The two are connected. I've never met someone that came from Christian parents that loved the Lord with all of his heart or her heart and was such a good Christian and yet hated their parents. I mean, there's a mismatch there somewhere. No, absolutely not. We need to obey them. We need to listen to what they're saying. I mean, even animals know that. Even animals know that. I mean, when animals have children, right, little ones, they don't run off and say, forget you, I'm going to go my own way. They don't. They stick around. I mean, instinctively they know that that's the right thing to do. And so they're... well-being is tied up with being close to their parents, being defended by their parents. I mean, that's the way we speak about animals, isn't it? Some of them are well-known in terms of certain characteristics. I mean, the mother bear, you don't want to mess with the cubs. I mean, there's no one as safe as the cubs near their mother in terms of bears. I mean, we see that in nature. And yet we're the only ones where it ends up, the children disobey their parents, even while they're living under their roof. But sin is so alluring, so many temptations, so many voices that we hear from the world calling us to rebel, causing us to cast them aside, causing us to even live under their roof and eat the food that they give and the clothes that they buy for us to wear and still treat them like dirt. I mean, what sense does that make? Nobody in the world would tolerate it. I mean, you try that with your friends and other people, they'd tell you to hit the road. That's the end of that relationship. But your parents love you through all the difficulties and struggles that you bring. Because God has put it in them to care for you, to suffer even for you. So it's a right thing to do. It's a proper thing to do. In fact, you know that Proverbs speaks much about this relationship and says that those that disregard this command are really, the only description for them is really fools. They're just fools. They don't understand that the very bough that they're sitting on and cutting is the one that's going to bring destruction to them. So God says very clearly, even the simplest thing, even the most basic thing that we ought to know, God feels it necessary to impress that upon us. So he says, children, obey your parents. Obey your parents. This is the right thing to do. But to strengthen that, he said this is God's law. Not only is natural law, it's God's law. Paul also points that out, that obedience to parents is highlighted in the Ten Commandments. God did not leave us to find this out for ourselves or to look at nature and figure this out. No, he revealed it explicitly himself on Mount Sinai with his own voice, and he wrote it with his own finger. Honor your father and mother. It's so important. It's so obvious, but not to those that are blind and dead. But God wants to make sure. And so he writes it in as the first commandment, he says, with a promise. And when people have looked at that, they know, oh, that's kind of strange, right? Because there is no other commandment with a promise. Where's the second one with a promise? If this is the first one, you think there's a second one. But there is no second one. No, it's the first commandment relative to our relationship with others, our horizontal relationship. This is the highest one. That's where God starts. In the family, the relationship between children and parents, because it's such a foundational building block of society. And it's such an important and vital building block in the kingdom of God, that God attaches to this one a promise to further instill that upon us, to elevate it, to give it great importance. He didn't want us to skip over this one. And so children need to take note that God views this as absolutely essential, absolutely important. If there's anything else that you learn, you need to learn this. That it says it may go well with you. That it may well mean that it is first, as I said, among the second table of the law. Such important. If I disobey my parents, think of it this way. If I disobey my parents, the ones that went through all the discomfort of having me in the first place, and then staying up at night and changing our diapers. I mean, who in the world is going to change you, right? Nobody else. Nobody wants to touch you. People that do earn very high wages because it's a dirty job. Sometimes we need it when we get older, right? It's, People don't rush to that job, right? But our parents do it free of charge. Free of charge. They take no vacations. They get no pay for it. They spend their money on your well-being. They chase you around to make sure you're doing the right thing so that you will do well. For what? For what? Because they love you. They spend an inordinate amount of money, whatever you need, in order to have you get ahead, as it were. So, if I don't return love to my parents to do all of that for me, if I don't honor them, if I don't respect them, then my question is, who will you honor and respect? Who will you honor and respect? And of course the answer is, no one. No one. If I'm not willing to do that to my parents, I'm not willing to submit to anybody at all. And that is what we find. When there's hardship in terms of relationships in the family, that's what happens. There's tensions in the family, and then eventually the child moves out, or even while the child is at home, he or she is not obeying the law, and they get into trouble with the law. They get into trouble in the school. They get into trouble if they have a job. They get into trouble at work. There's nowhere that they show respect to anyone, because they don't know how to show respect. Even though that other person may be gracious to them, may help them, the teacher in school that really wants that child to do well and is willing to put extra time, they couldn't care less. It doesn't matter to them. It's all about me. It's all about me. And so they ruin the society. And that's what our world is finding out. I might say, just as an aside, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg, right? Did the children react that way because parents stopped caring for their children as they should? I'm sure there's an element of that too. But children need to understand that God wants you to be obedient, because he's put you in a safe place. Safe for you, safe for the family, safe for the society. It's a very, very important stage in our life where we learn the most important lessons of life. And if we don't learn them there, we're never going to learn them. That's why it says, train up a child in the way that it will go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So God thinks it's absolutely essential, and he warns you to obey your parents. But also, it reflects God's gracious fatherhood. If the damaging of family life and societal life is not a hindrance to you, if you say, well, I don't care. I don't care about society. It's all about me. Then let us understand that children-parent relationship is patterned after our relationship to God. He is spoken of as our Father, both in one sense of all people of the world, but particularly of us in the covenant community. He is a God to us. He is our Father. So if we will not love, honor, and obey our parents who love and care for us, as I've already mentioned, then how will we ever love him that we cannot see? We're already building a certain attitude that somebody that does everything for us, we don't care, we still do what we want. That's exactly the way that we're going to respond to God. We'll take everything that he gives, but we're not going to show him any regard. We're not going to obey him in anything. Well, that disobeying our parents has damaging effects upon our lives. but nothing in comparison to the damaging effects when we act that way towards God. We can't even begin to enter into all that that involves. Eternity without God. His judgment upon us. When we stand before him and he says, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." There's no place in my house for you. There's no place in my kingdom for you. There's no place in the mansions in my Father's house. There's none for you. I mean, how terrible would that be? But it all starts here. You've been given a privileged place in the covenant of God so that you may understand these things and be made wise unto salvation. But if you disregard your parents, then inevitably this is where you're going to end up, disregarding God himself. And God has given us an example. As I said, God is so gracious, so loving. Not only does he tell us with words, he shows it himself. And so we have Christ's example. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us that. And we read about that. Not much is told us about the Lord Jesus Christ's early life as a child. But we are given something about when he was 12 years old. And we are told the characteristic of his life. And what was that? That he honored his parents. He obeyed his parents. And he grew in stature before men and before God. He learned as a child. And in the covenant community, you have the privilege of learning just like the Lord Jesus Christ learned himself. To obey his parents and, of course, to obey God himself. And he gives it an incentive. A promise is attached, namely, that it would go well with them and that they may live long on the earth, in the land that the Lord was giving to them. For the Israelites, it meant that if they wanted to enjoy life in the land of Canaan, under the protection and blessing of God, they should obey their parents. I mean, that applied to the whole nation, but particularly to children. In fact, you may be shocked to hear that in the covenant community, if parents had a child and grown up too, I mean a teenager perhaps, and he was an obnoxious child and would not obey, and though the parents reasoned with him, he couldn't care less. He's just an obstinate child. We are told that the parents were to go to the gate of the city, to the elders, and say to them, "This our child is a stubborn child, and we've been patient with him, but he will not listen." You know what they did? They didn't put him in jail. They didn't slap his hand. They didn't give him 40 lashes. You know what they did? They stoned him to death. They stoned him to death. How more starkly can this promise be put in context than that? That it may go well with you in the land. That you may enjoy the land. It's put negatively in this commandment that they would be stoned to death. Obviously, they wouldn't spend any more time in the land. But God is saying, you won't enjoy the blessings. You won't receive the blessings of God if you don't obey your parents. And these people knew what that meant because all of these people that came into the promised land, you remember where their parents were? They died in the wilderness because the parents weren't submitting themselves to God. They died in the wilderness. And only the children came in. But they were warned too. In fact, in Deuteronomy, you can read at length in chapters 28, 29, the blessings and curses of the covenant. if we do not obey him, then things are not going to go well. And in fact, those things that are mentioned are enough to make the hair on the back of your head stand up. In all things, Paul adds in Colossians, we're to obey our parents in all things. Not only some things. Not only when we agree with what they're saying. Then we say, okay, that's reasonable, even though I don't like it. But No. In all things, we need to obey our parents. Now, some may have certain rules, some may have another set of rules. And that's going to happen. We are not told, make sure your parents have a certain set of rules and only obey them then. No, there's differences between parents. You are called to obey your parents, not somebody else's parents. You can't say to your mum and dad, oh yeah, but they let their children stay out till 11, and you're telling us we have to be home at 9. That's not fair. It has to be 11. No, it doesn't. The discretion is given to your parents. And yes, God knows they're imperfect. And yes, God will address them too. But that has nothing to do with you. You can't make your obedience conditional. In other words, saying, if it's this, I'm not obeying. If you say this, I'm not. No. You have no say. You ought to obey your parents in all things. In all things. And we need to put up with those things that we think are inconvenient and not reasonable. No. We're to do those things. Because understand this. When in the Christian life we live our life, there will be things that we think are unreasonable in the scriptures. And the devil will say on your shoulder, that's not very nice. That's not very reasonable. God is being a little harsh here, don't you think? We don't have to obey that. He will say that to you. And unless you learn in the family environment to obey your parents joyfully, even when you disagree with what they're saying, it's then that you learn the very important lesson of how to walk with God and to trust him and to obey him even when you can't fathom what's going on. It's in the home. I mean, little do we understand how important, vital it is in the home, what lessons we learn in terms of the Christian life. It's in the home that they are put into place. And you need not to waste that time. Not a rush to grow up and to get out of the home. There's nowhere more important than you graduate than in your home. Nowhere more important that you will graduate than graduating from a Christian home. So listen to them in everything. Learn to be obedient even when that voice is saying in your heart, that's not reasonable. Let's disobey. Let's fight with our parents. No, absolutely not. They're there to protect you. They're there to do you good. They have no other interest in you. What are they getting out of you, by the way? I mean, do you pay them premiums when you get out of the home and you say, oh, parents, you did so much for me. You know, I'm going to start paying you $50 a week because of all that you did. They don't ask for that, do they? They probably give us stuff, not just to get rid of us, you understand, but they give us stuff because they want you to have a good start. That's the way it is with God. He gives and he gives and he gives. But when we're stubborn, when we're disobedient, then it will not go well with us. And you can never blackmail God by saying, God, you know, if you do all of these things, we did all of these things, I'm just going to leave Christianity. He's not affected by that. Parents are. Parents are. They're very scared of that. They don't want that to happen. And sometimes, sad to say, they compromise just to keep the children in. But they've lost the battle. They've lost the battle already. Because the children will keep upping their demands, because they know they've got you. But God isn't like that. Just like the father of the two children, the prodigal son left. And the father let him go. So let us obey our parents. And the last point I want to make is that we need to obey even our unbelieving parents. Even our unbelieving parents. Just like the wife is to be submissive to a husband, not only when he's a Christian, but if you happen to find yourself in a situation where you are, perhaps you were married and both were unbelievers, and then you became a Christian and he didn't, now you find yourself in a mixed marriage, the Bible doesn't say divorce him. The Bible says no. You need to be submissive even to that husband, to be a witness to him. And so it's the same with children. So we have to be very careful. Because children, like myself, we became Christians, our parents weren't. Now, we couldn't say, well, you know, we know more than our parents in terms of spiritual things, and therefore our reasoning is higher than theirs, and so we don't have to listen to them. If anybody had that argument, it would be the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, here he was with Joseph and Mary. He knew more things about everything than they would ever hope to know. But it didn't lead him to say, Joseph and Mary, by the way, you have to listen to me because I'm God. I'm perfect. And you're not. He doesn't say that. He honored them. He submitted to them. So even when we are Christians and our parents are not, we have to be obedient to them. We have to be obedient to them in everything. Of course, there's always a limit, right? As it is with wives and husbands, as it is between workers and employers and employees. We can never go outside of what God's word says. We're never to obey people when they call us to break God's law. Absolutely not. But that doesn't mean we rebel and leave them. No, we just say, in this particular case, I cannot obey you. Because a higher authority, namely God, is telling me to do something else. And the world understands that. So, yes, even though you have more spiritual insight than they do, God is still saying to you, be obedient to your parents. And that means in things that don't clash with the Bible, we need to submit to them. We need to show them honor. We need to be an example to them, to our unbelieving parents. We ought to be the best children in the world so that we can commend to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they should say, you know, my children are Christians and I'm not, and yet, you know, they behave wonderfully. Why am I mad with them? I mean, that's what we used to tell them. Not that we were angels, by the way. But we used to say, Dad, look, we don't run around with girls. We don't go to taverns. We don't drink, right? And we study hard, as you tell us to do. What is it that we're doing so bad? You know, that had an impact. Even imperfect children as we were, it had an impact. That's what we need to do as believing children. We need to be an example to them. In fact, when we got married, we could have said, look, we're going to have it this way. We are no part of, you know, Indian traditional thing. No, if it's in different things, of course we should do what they want us to do. If it doesn't call us to break God's word. So especially as children then that are part of unbelieving parents, even more so to be witnesses to them. We ought not to be know-it-alls. We ought not to be proud and lord it over them, as it were, and regard them like down here. No, Jesus never did that with Joseph and Mary, and neither should you. You ought to be a blessing to them, to be a witness, so that through your life they can see the power of the gospel at work and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're so glad and thankful to God that that did happen in our salvation, in our family, and our parents did become children. Children of God, did become believers. But what if we had been stuck up and thought we're so, you know, reject the Indian culture and embrace the British culture and all of that, and just every turn we would be at loggerheads with them. Would that have had an adverse effect on our witness? Absolutely. Absolutely. So don't think that this command is conditional on your parents being Christians. It isn't. So how much more then, when you have Christian parents, how much more is it incumbent upon us to obey them, even though they're not perfect? Even though they're not perfect. It will be an absolute blessing upon you. You know, we have examples in the scriptures of where that's the case. You know, Naaman had a maid. In fact, he took her from Israel in one of their raids. And he kept this little girl in his home. She was a maid to them. I mean, how much she must have resented him. He was the leader of the army. He had ripped her away from her family and her friends and her community and taken her to another country and serving as a servant to him in his house. I mean, how every day she must have had such resentment feelings. But you know, she witnessed to him. He was a leper. And she said, if he would go to Israel, there would be a prophet there that he could be healed. I mean, why in the world would you tell him that? I mean, what an impact it had, didn't it? He went in all of his pride, he went. But God dealt with him. And he washed in that river and was cleansed and returned. We're not told what he did. But perhaps he sent that girl back to her family. What a powerful witness those that love the Lord can have on those around them, even unbelieving parents. People of God, God knows what he's doing. God knows how to order our lives. God is aware of all the dangers that we have. God is aware of the abuses that take place in families. And of course, we don't say, Lord, your parents are beating you up. Nevertheless, stay in the home. Don't say anything. No, 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 we're not saying that. There are exceptions, of course, that we have to treat in an appropriate way. But generally, children, obey your parents. It's the greatest blessing that God has given you. And if you obey them and listen to what they say, then you will have a blessing much greater than you can ever imagine. Eternal life. Forgiveness of sin, and to be part of the family of God. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for our children. And in one sense, as parents, we have an inkling of what you do for us. And our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we are all your children, that you have indeed begotten us. And it wasn't easy. Labor pains have nothing on the cries of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. But we're so thankful that he did that. And that we are now a part of your family. And our Father, we pray that even as children, we may be obedient, that we may learn these wonderful truths of your word, that we might be made wise unto salvation, and that we might know what it is to be the children of God. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless our families, that you would bless the parents, you would bless the children, so that we may honor you in all that we do. And Lord, that our church may be stronger for it, and that we might give a stronger witness to the world around us. We ask our Father that you would hear our prayers and that you would receive our thanks, for we pray it all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.